Amen, amen, hallelujah. I'm used to bigger light bulbs than that, but I don't know. But praise the Lord, I'll try to work through this here. Turn my speculars up here and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the title of my message tonight, and I think Amy gave me, 2 hours to speak tonight? Oh, 2 minutes. Oh, okay. 3 vital questions at Christmas time. Not real exciting, but I tell you what, it's an important thing. There was a song that used to play on the radio. It was titled, "There Are More Questions Than the Answers," sung by singer Johnny Nash. The song asked a few questions like, what is life? What is life about? How do we live? What should we take and how much should we give? Questions are very much a part of our life, aren't they? Very much part of it. Asking questions can help you and I increase our knowledge in whatever we want to have knowledge of. And for instance, some of you may be asking some very personal questions right now. Like, will I get a salary or bonus this year? That's usually a prominent one this time of year, huh? How much will it be? Will my medical test come out all right? Those are important ones too. Will that turmoil end that's within me? Will it come to an end? Others may be asking, I wonder what Christmas will be like this year. Another extremely humorous song from days gone by, it was titled Foolish Questions. Now you've all heard foolish questions, and no doubt you've wondered why. Some person will ask a foolish question and expect a sensible reply. Like when you take your girl some candy, say maybe just after tea, you notice how she'll grab it, and then she'll say, is that for me? See, we get questions like that every day of our life, don't we? Every day we wake up, we have questions about something. And God has an answer to the questions that are in your heart tonight. He's got answers for them. In this sermon, I'd like to dwell on the 3 following questions asked in the Christmas story by different people and look at how God revealed the answers to them. One of these questions was asked before the birth of Jesus. One directly involved his birth, and one was asked after his birth. And the first question is this: whereby shall I know this? Whereby shall I know this? Luke chapter 1 verse 18 says, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. You see, in the first chapter of Luke, we read about a godly couple, Elizabeth and a priestly husband, Zachariah. They had no children, and to make things worse, they were too old to hope for a child anymore. I've personally prayed for couples that have been wanting a child in their life several times throughout my life and ministered to people like that. They wanted children. They just couldn't have children for whatever reason, medical or whatever reason. It just didn't happen. And these couples, they felt the agony of not being able to have the children. And I'm sure Elizabeth and Zachariah, too, went through much pain as they would have prayed many times probably for children. But it so happened when Zachariah was in the temple to burn incense, when to his amazement, the angel Gabriel turned up at his ministry place with an astounding message. Wouldn't that be something an angel turned up here right now? Could. But that's what happened. See, this isn't just a story. This is events that happen in history. In Luke chapter 1, verses 11, 17, I won't read it right now for the sake of time. I've worked hard to cut this and chop it as little as possible, but Gabriel gave him a prophecy of the miracle God was going to perform by blessing them with a baby in their old age. Luke 1:13 says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. I love that part. God said, for thy prayer is heard. Have you prayed anything? God hears it. God hears it. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. See, the prophecy had the following statements of hope in it. Luke 1:19 says, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show these things of glad tidings. Luke 1:14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And lastly, Luke 1:15-17 says, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Even from the mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of just, to make ready and a people prepared for the Lord. God has his people.
Amen.
God has his people preparing hearts because, see, Jesus is coming back again. And there's people in the land, men and women, that are proclaiming this good news that Jesus is born. But sadly, in response, listen to this, in response, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak. This is what he told Zacharias in verse 20. Zachariah asked the question, whereby shall I know this? Shall I know it? And it ended up losing his voice for a season of time. And when he came out, he could not speak, it says in verse 22. He couldn't speak. Many will lose promises that are in this word. They're going to lose their promises. But most terrifying part of it, there's many people that will lose their eternal soul because of unbelief for eternity. You see, in verse 20, it finishes, it says, by because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. God has a season for every promise and every word in our life, but we need to know and trust and believe him that it will come to pass. But see, Zacharias questioned it. He had unbelief. And unbelief will send more people to hell because they do not trust what God had said. God was, however, he was true to his word as always. He always is. In verse 57 of Luke, it says, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. She brought it forth. It happened, didn't it? Amen. That baby came forth. And she was stricken in years. She's an old lady. Her husband was an old man. But it came to pass, as God said, even in spite of Zechariah's unbelief. But let's try to imagine the absolute joy this elderly couple had when this baby came. Can you imagine that? As they went through and they held the baby in their arms, and what changes it brought about in their neighborhood. See, the very neighbors and the relatives and the friends who may have been mocking them and ended up and rejoicing with her. And we learn that through the years. We've been mocked by people, mocked by family, mocked by friends because we live the life for Jesus, believing what the word of God is true. But see, God's word is coming to pass. Even as you and I are in here tonight, it is coming to pass exactly the way God said it. Jesus is coming. And it doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not, or I believe it or not. His word is his word. And while they were probably looking forward to a quiet retirement, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? And being forgotten, they're out of the limelight. But you know something, verse 65, and it says, all these sayings were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. People were talking about it. Elizabeth was so overcome by joy that she proclaimed, he looked on me to take away my reproach. That means the disapproval or disappointment. Jesus took it away among men, it finishes by saying in verse 25. And to make their joy complete, guess what? Zechariah's speech, it came back. It came back. It says in verse 64, and his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and he praised God, and he ended up prophesying. You need to go into the word of God and read it and see what God did through that man as he prophesied. You need to do that. You need to read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation as many times as you can. It's full of exciting things about a God who is living and real. Too bad, Muhammad. Too bad, Buddha. You have no paper trail. Jesus does. That's why we're talking about him tonight. And the end of the year is close by, and maybe it's not been a great year for you. You may think it's too late for your dreams and your goals to be fulfilled. You think it's too late. It's too late. Like Zechariah, you may be feeling that your best days are gone and the time of God's favor is now over in your life. But hold on. It's never too late for God to fulfill his plan. It never is. His purpose in your life and to reveal himself powerfully to you. I don't care how old you are or how young you are in here tonight. God can fulfill his plan in your life. Take a hold of the promise God gives you this Christmas season, people. And don't allow unbelief to say, how can I be sure of this? Many people use that for an excuse to walk away from God or an excuse to live in sin. By questioning this holy God. See, your situation like Zechariah's can be changed by the Lord in one day or within an instant. So that your life and faith can still bring great glory to God. There's a story told of two brothers who were convicted of stealing sheep. They were each branded on the forehead with the letters ST, Sam Tom, for sheep and thief, I should have said. One brother, unable to bear the stigma, lived a miserable life and eventually took his own life. But the other brother, with God's help, I believe, decided to rebuild his life in integrity once again and win back the respect of the people. He built a solid reputation for integrity over the years and many years. A stranger asked a person from the same town what the letters ST stood for. The other man replied, it happened a long time ago. I've forgotten the particulars, but I think it stands for saint. God changed him. God changed him. See, the sheep thief was now considered a saint. And here's the second question. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And we find that in Luke chapter 1 in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This question was asked by Mary when the angel Gabriel came to her with yet another astounding message. And you can find that in Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 33 in the Gospel of Luke. She was to give birth to Messiah Jesus, the Son of the Highest, it says in verse 32. And obviously in shock and puzzled, Mary asked, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That wasn't of unbelief. That wasn't of unbelief. This was a question of wonder. How can this be? Zechariah's was unbelief. Hers was, how can this be? She was wonder and excited. She was trying to grapple with how such a thing that had never happened before could actually happen to her. It says in verses 135 through 37, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. See, after accepting the angel's message with childlike faith, Mary said again in verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. According to thy word. Amen. According to thy word. There's people today saying this is an old book. It doesn't tell us anything. It doesn't mean anything. But this is the most powerful book in the world because every word in there will never, ever pass away. Jot or tittle, it will stay for eternity. And it will come to pass in your life and my life as we seek out and we obey it. Hallelujah. Mary trusted God's word to her and accepted it. Even though she would have realized the huge challenges ahead with the broken engagement and the neighborhood gossip, which was a very real possibility. In fact, it would take decades for people to believe her story. Friend, when God gives you a promise or a prophecy, Be confident that we'll fulfill it in His time. He will fulfill it. That's why it's important to read the Word of God. It is filled with prophecy and promises for you and I, and they will come to pass as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. When you read it, it'll come to life if you hold true to God's Word as Mary did. If you are prone to ask the question, how will this be? May it be a question of wonder and childlike faith and not one of unbelief. Remember the words given to Mary? For with God, nothing is impossible. There's nothing in your and my life that God cannot change, that He cannot accomplish in your life. No matter how young, how old we are, God is able to do whatever He has promised, and He will do it as we stand true to His Word. I'm excited to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He does answer prayer, and He fulfills it in His time. And you may say, well, Pastor, I'm getting up there in age. How can God use me anymore? Let me just say two words. Zechariah and Elizabeth. In fact, let me say two more. Abraham and Sarah. See, God doesn't retire anybody. He doesn't retire anybody. Or is it anyone? I'm not sure. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Think about that. Nothing. And that brings us to the third and final question. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? It says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 2, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. See, the Magi who followed the Christmas star from the east asked this question when they came to Jerusalem. It's amazing that they were so committed to finding and worshiping the King of the Jews. The star had profound effect on them as God's creation spoke to them nearby. It showed what an awesome creator we have, and I believe the Magi understood that as they could look at this star. It says in Matthew 2 again, we have Herod the corrupt man, and as you read the story in Matthew in chapter 2, verses 3, it says that he was troubled. Herod was troubled about the birth of Jesus. He privately called the wise men, inquired of them with vicious and devious plans of his own. Isn't it ironic that while these men had traveled possibly hundreds of miles to see the King of the Jews, the Jewish leaders themselves were unwilling to go a few miles to reach Bethlehem. And while the star was God's revelation to the Magi, the baby Jesus was God's greatest revelation to the entire world. When I read that, I was thinking about even in today's world that we live, there's people that will walk miles and miles and miles to hear the gospel. But yet in a community where we have hundreds of churches and easy to go, people will not go to church for whatever reason. And they're right there. But I've been in countries where they've done that. And that's where these Magi, where they traveled and followed that star. I'm going to have the choir come up here. Well, I got a lot to say on this yet, but I know that I got to cut it short because you all have plans tonight. But there's a lot in my heart that I could sure add into this because there's so much to it. And it's exciting. As Stuart Hamilton sang in the famous gospel song, and my mother always loved this song, it is no secret what God can do. It's a beautiful song. The same Jesus can live in your heart and do the same for you too if you're willing to invite Him in. And maybe someone needs to re-invite Him in during the Christmas season. Did you hear that? Maybe you need to re-invite Him in. And that's a good thing to do. Come on, choir. Come on up. Or am I supposed to shut up pretty soon and get done? Okay. You can tell that. I'm not worried about it. Let me just finish and I'll walk off. If you're in here and you've never received this beautiful Jesus, I urge you to do it tonight. If you are in here and you need to re-invite Jesus, do it tonight. For now is the day of salvation.
Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing. Like a choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I say. Hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. Does any bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chance of life. A peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells that ring like a choir they're singing. And with our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you hear the bells they're ringing? The light.
With every head bowed, I want to ask you tonight, if you've never ever made that, accepted that invitation from Jesus, you've never done that before, I want you to just slip up your hand and say, I'd love to receive this gift of salvation tonight. Or maybe you're in here tonight and you just said, I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I haven't been living the way I should. Just raise your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just want to make sure. I know we have a small crowd here, but that's okay. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, you see the hearts and you see the hands. So, Lord, it's you that does the work in the depth of a soul that only you can touch. So, Father, I believe everyone that walked in here tonight hopefully heard your love for them and your desire for them. And so, Father, we, this evening, this Christmas time, Lord, you've given us another Christmas. And we thank you for that. And, Lord, we thank you for Jesus who died on Calvary's cross. Lord, you said in your word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's why you sent your Son into the world, that the wages of sin is death and separation from God for all eternity, and that there are none that are righteous, no, not one. And if, Lord, if there be anybody in here tonight that would say, I hope I make it to heaven, I'm going to warn them that they won't if that's how they're saying it, because your word says we can know that we have salvation. And so, Lord, I would challenge those here this evening, if they haven't or they're not living where they belong, that they recommit to Jesus before it's too late. And we thank you, Father. We praise you. And, Lord, we also believe in the healing power of Jesus. And Renee, would you come up here real quick? We're not going to belabor this, but I want to pray. We believe in this church and divine healing. Is there anybody in here needs a touch in your body? Just come right up here with me. I'm already up here. We want to pray for our sister. And Father, right now, Lord, we thank you. You said in your word, Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, that by Jesus' stripes we are, that we were healed. And I speak that by faith over these that have come forth tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your healing power flow through them. Lord, let it manifest in their lives tonight. Even now, Father, do a work within their bodies, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke sickness and disease and illness and the spirit of pain and any curse from them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for the answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Have a beautiful, wonderful Christmas. And remember when you open your packages that Jesus is our gift. That when those packages are all done and they're bored and they're worn out and you lose them and they get beat up, remember Jesus is eternal. I'll quit preaching. It isn't easy.